Our Christmas celebration tonight is best understood in the stillness and the darkness. The celebration of the coming of Christ tonight into our heart is not heard unless it is heard within our heart. And that is why we celebrate in the stillness and the darkness, so that the questions of this mystery of Christmas can be allowed to confront our heart. As we ask, what does it really mean to each of us that the approach of the living God to our life comes through the invitation of a helpless child born in dreadful circumstances? Would we be so foolish as to fear a helpless child? Would we be impelled perhaps to help so unfortunate a family? What does it really mean to us that the definitive coming of the living God to us in our life is in the role of a helpless beggar? We know, at least in theory, that in the heart of our faith, the approach of our Lord at Christmas as a child is really that of a gentle lover who wants to reach out and touch the better qualities of our poor lives. He really comes as a gentle lover who does not wish to overwhelm us with his power, because he comes in weakness, and he does not wish to take away our freedom. And that's why we listen in the very depths of our heart, since already the Word of God dwells there, that we might better know what it can really mean to us that our God and humankind, meaning all of us here, are welded together in this child, that God became one of us that we might become like him. That presence of God in this child is so gentle that it hardly would give us the possibility to refuse his invitation. The invitation is there in our heart at all times, but especially now, in quiet and in stillness. A longing to understand better the meaning of our lives, to recognize that the child born in a stable is God's invitation to us, made flesh. And this invitation is so important, it can never be overstressed. I recall years ago visiting in the southern part of this country, in an area where the hillsides are honeycombed with natural caves. And we were told that the early explorers who found these caves long ago would always first tie a cord to a tree and then around their waist before they would go down into the darkness of the cave. And they would just gradually let go of the cord as they went down into these dark tunnels. And there, in these twisting, interconnecting, dark tunnels, no explorer was ever lost because he was always tied to a tree. A guideline was always a constant that he could count upon. And a sense of security is given that would prevent them from ever becoming lost or disoriented. And that is really the image of our life. All of us are wandering in the dark caves of our lives. We're wandering and we are exploring deep down in the bowels of our existence. And all we have at times is the smallest light of faith to illumine perhaps only just a few feet immediately around us, the kind of experience in life that all of us can understand. In our lives there have been those dark and narrow passages, the times we became ill, or our fear of growing old, perhaps the memories of a child who died in our family, the experience of the uncertainty of the adolescent years, the interconnecting maze of all these dark tunnels of our lives called grief or exaltation, or moments of smiles and longer moments of tears, the times when sometimes we could stride ahead with confidence, but more times when we would only slowly and hesitatingly edge forward with much apprehension, wondering what would happen next. Always wondering, to what are we anchored in our life? What keeps us from becoming lost in the darkness of our life? To what have we tied the cord of our lives? It was T.S. Eliot, the great poet, who in 1917, rather poetically and prophetically as a seer, wrote the line in the poem The Love Song of J. Alfred Prufrock, "I have measured out my life with coffee spoons. I have measured out my life with coffee spoons." The coffee spoon is so small. The coffee spoon is smaller than a teaspoon. So to measure out our life with a coffee spoon means that we are so afraid of life that we invest it only with fear and sparingly, only as much as a coffee spoon. And that's why today, as we look around in our lives, we see so many people who live out their lives in coffee spoon-sized servings. It's all the result of fear in their lives. Fear of being isolated, fear of being threatened, the fear of all those people who continue to wander in the bowels of the earth and keep wondering, will I ever get out of this darkness alive? And that is precisely why we do celebrate Christmas Eve in darkness with only a hint of light, so that we can understand the image of what the church is telling us, that there is indeed someone among us who happens to be a fellow traveler with us here in the darkness of the bowels of the earth. But this one who is our brother is firmly anchored in the living God. And it is he who does invite us to share his lifeline with his Father and our Father. The lifeline he offers us is so strong that it can bear the weight of all of us, of all humanity, and that is the good news, that we are indeed one with him. We live in him. His Spirit lives in us. He nourishes us, and that Spirit within us, with his Holy Word and his Holy Bread. And our lives then become fixed with this reality, and then our wandering is able to cease. Then we need not fear any longer, at least not the way we used to. We discover we no longer need live in coffee spoon sizes. But risk is possible. The risk of forgiving those who have hurt us. The risk of loving those who are not lovable. The risk of generosity of being open, the risk of going into even the darkest caves of our life, facing even the darkest side of ourself that we most despise and fear, and above all, the risk of leaving behind us for good that big supply of coffee spoons that we have collected over the years. The risk, finally, of being able to measure out the rest of our lives with huge, oversized scoops. That is what we are able to celebrate on Christmas Eve. The coming of a fellow traveler who is not a fellow wanderer. We need no longer wander. The child that is God's invitation to finally root our lives in a gift that is a grace given to each one of us now, to root our lives in the one who, in the words of Gerard Manley Hopkins, in the one who takes more interest in the merchant's business than the merchant, takes more interest in the vessel's steering than the pilot, takes more interest in the sick person's pain than the one who suffers, takes more interest in our salvation than we do. Now in the stillness of Christmas Eve, we people really no longer need to be discouraged by the smallness of our lives. Our lives are very small, and we know that. And yet, Bethlehem also was very small. Every human life is a Bethlehem, a house of bread. Every human life is too small for this world, we think. But every human life is large enough for God, just as Bethlehem ended up being large enough for God. For that's where he decided to become born. And that's what God seeks tonight. A home in this world, right here, within the very smallness of our own lives. Your life and my life. Your heart, my heart. And God comes to this home, our heart, bearing gifts tonight. The gifts are healing grace and healing peace. These are the gifts that we receive now in the house of bread, our Bethlehem, our heart.